Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Christian living is essential to go to heaven. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, we're not to be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Friend, faithfulness cannot be ignored. It is not easy to live as a Christian in a world of sin. It was not designed to be easy, but be right. Christians face opposition and hardship and persecution and many other obstacles that are almost unimaginable seeing the goodness of Christianity. The Christian is provoked by tribulation, to be sure, and that provocation is to quit and to give up. This is what difficulties are intended to accomplish by the devil. But we can overcome them. At the same time, there are things that help us along the way. In this lesson, we're going to mention a few of the aids to Christian living. And certainly, this is not an exhausted list. But these things have a tremendous and positive influence on us to stay faithful and to live properly. And the bottom line, however, is that Christian living is the result of a personal decision and choice. Let us look briefly at some of these aids. As is true with most lessons, it will be necessary for us to consider the Bible. Writing out all the scriptures to which we refer is expedient. Our Lord is our role model. In essence, Jesus is saying to us, Watch me and do as I have done. He is perfect in every respect, the fullness of the Godhead, Colossians 2:9. Without him we are nothing, John 15:5. He is the only way, John 14:6. And we seek to imitate him, 1 Peter 2:21. And that's because he is our example and our pattern. Being tempted in all points like as we are, yet he was sinless. And he can guide us successfully to the determined and desired eternal destination of heaven. We keep looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. You see, our affections are set upon what God approves. Paul said to imitate him, but imitate him as he imitated Christ, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. So we must let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, Philippians 2 and verse 5. We are told Jesus, like one little boy was toward his big brother. He said, I want to be like him. We want to be more and more like Jesus and follow him day by day. We sing that way. We also sing more and more like Jesus I would ever be. Friend, as we learn of Christ, we turn our lives into his likeness and we constantly ask, What would Jesus do? What would he have me to do? Now we can learn about this role model only from the scriptures that reveal the Savior to us. Yes, as we'll focus on Christ, it will help us in Christian living. And each week, Christians turn their minds especially to the remembrance of what the Lord has done that we might be saved. We look again at the cross of Christ in the memorial that's called the Lord's Supper. This was observed in the early church, Acts 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week. John says we love him because he first loved us. By the Lord's Supper, friend, we not only remember his sacrifice, but we proclaim him to the world that we believe in him. We remain faithful because we dare not turn our back on him, lest we be rightfully accused of crucifying him afresh, Hebrews 6 and verse 6. We ask the question, shall I crucify my Savior? As we survey the wondrous cross, we learn that he demands my soul, my life, my all, and we are motivated to live the kind of life that he prescribes for us. What helps us to stay faithful in Christian living? It is to focus our attention on Calvary. And then again, there are certain enemies of the cross, we know, that would do us harm. But there are friends of Christ and his disciples also by our side. There are those of like precious faith that will support one another to help one another get to heaven. Oh, how can you measure the spiritual value of a Christian home and Christian parents and a Christian mate in marriage, Christian children, brethren in the Lord? We're all seeking the same ultimate eternal destination, and we're members of a congregation of people who have one of their prime purposes in life, and that's to look one upon another with love and try to help one another reach the ultimate goal. We have friends, we have preachers, there are elders that watch for our souls, we are loved, and we should falter there. If we should falter, there be those that will be seeking our return and our restoration. We don't want anybody to fall through the cracks, if you please. Christians look out for one another, and that's because we be brethren. The fellowship of Christian people, that's a great help in helping to keep us faithful in the Lord. But we read in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You see, friend, we are his children, and that's because he has extended to us his love, his grace, and his mercy. And as his child, we continue to be blessed by these things. When Paul was suffering, he prayed for relief and asked the Lord, "My suffering," the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee," 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. When John, when he was probably in exile on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord told him, "Fear not, for I am the first and the last." What an abundant promise is given to us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, that there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also provide for us a way of escape that we may be able to endure it or to bear it. Friend, we can be victorious in light of all the hardships and persecutions and difficulties that might come our way because we strive to follow Christ. There is this way that God will provide for us. Yes, the continued grace of God toward us helps to keep us faithful. Now, it is true that God may not always approve of everything that we do. But it is also true, friend, and get this point because it's so vital. There will never be a time when the Lord does not love us, Romans 8 and verse 1, 35 through 39. He loves us in spite of what we do. Now, as I said, that doesn't mean he will always approve of us. That doesn't mean that we'll be saved regardless of what we do. It simply means that God always seeks our highest good at all times. That's what agape love is. And he supplies our every need, Hebrews 2:15. And for this reason, we can come before his throne in prayer with confidence to obtain the mercy and to find the grace and the help in time of need. Because Christ has been tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4 and verse 15. You see, friend, we have our stones of Ebenezer. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we go back into the Old Testament and we find the meaning of that. When God delivered Israel from the attacks of the Philistines, Samuel raised a stone, and he called that stone Ebenezer, and that simply means a stone of help. We sometimes sing, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." Dear friend, by the help and the continuing grace of God, along with Christ as our example, along with our brethren, along with the continued mercy and grace toward us, this helps us to keep faithful in living the Christian life. And then in Christ we have a hope, not only in this life, but for the life that is to come. The hope of the Christian provides for him the confidence and optimism, and indeed the assurance that he needs to fight the good fight of faith successfully and faithfully. You know, farmers plow in hope. Merchants trade in hope. Christians live in hope of heaven. They live in hope of eternal life with God. Titus 1 and verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life." Paul said in Romans 8:24, "We are saved by hope." Now, how is this possible? It's because our hope motivates us to keep on keeping on in faithfulness in Christian living, by knowing that we shall with God eventually reap as we have sown, and we have sown to the Spirit. We keep doing our best. Christianity is a faith of hope. God is the God of hope. Christ is our hope. And away from God, there is no hope. Hope expresses not only our desire, but our expectancy of heaven. We desire to live in heaven, and because of Christ, we expect to do that very thing. But God be thanks, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. You see, when the days grow weary, the long nights weary, we live the Christian life, there's the destiny of the faithful to be assured. Psalm 27 and verse 13 says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Jesus spoke words of incredible assurance and hope before he ascended into heaven. Paul tells us of our future, and he tells us that we shall be raised and live with God forever. Friend, you do well to read and pause the words of the Bible, the words of promise, the words of assurance, the words of guidance, the words of what the Lord has done for us and what he continues to do for us. They will lift our spirit. They will motivate us to service. And we will strive more diligently than ever before to live a life of a Christian, because his promises will not fail. You see, the Christian can join with the psalmist and say, "My cup runneth over." Psalm 23:5. No people on earth more blessed than those who strive to live a faithful Christian life. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and the promise of God's providence for us. Therefore, we shall put forth every effort in sincerity to live a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. In spite of fire and dungeon and sword, these things will help us along the way. Thanks be to God that we can be faithful in Christ. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.